Who's ready for another doozy of a sermon about spiritual enrichment and growth? Oh, man, that... Who's ready for a doozy of a sermon on spiritual enrichment and growth? There we go. Because that's what this church is about, right? Spiritual enrichment and growth. This one's so big, I got to have two Bibles up here today. We'll persevere. The sermon's on perseverance. How do we feel about perseverance? Do we have mixed feelings? I got over here. Perseverance, we get mixed feelings about the word perseverance, don't we? Depends on what we're persevering through, doesn't it? If we have a good attitude about it or a bad attitude about it. How about endurance? Building endurance? That's another one mixed, another oof. That's another mixed, it depends on what you're building endurance to. Right? Building endurance to watch, sit and watch the entire Indiana Jones saga. You're like, oh yeah, that's, sign me up for that, right? Building endurance to like break maybe some bad habits. Ooh, not as many people sign up for that one, right? But we should be just excited. It's been a hectic few weeks, right? We had, Jesus is not on earth anymore. Jesus died, rose, and then rose higher. He's not here in the human form anymore. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we gained a resurrected faith. We're all excited about that still, right? It hasn't worn off, has it? We learn through Jesus we can be forgiven and to learn and grow from experiences, maturing into shepherds from fishermen, where we continuously care, show kindness, and protect the flock around us. Busy, busy couple weeks. And now we do all these things, and we're waiting for Jesus to return again, soon, at an undetermined time. But maintaining a resurrected faith can be hard when life happens. One minute you're on the mountaintop, the next minute you're sliding just a little bit, then you slide a little bit more, you might be in the valley. Shepherding is difficult and a full-time job, if you didn't know. It's not just 9 to 5. That's a 24/7. Growing, learning, evolving is tedious at times. It's uncomfortable at times. We humans have a tendency to go back to the way things were because it's comfortable. Even though we know we shouldn't be there anymore, it's still comfortable and it appears to be easy. And waiting, boy, that gets tougher and tougher. That gets tougher and tougher as things become instantaneous in life. You can get anything delivered to your door and we complain that it took more than 15 minutes. There are challenges that come with this life and being human. Things occur that dampen our morale and threaten our motivation. So how do we stay the course and remain focused? Those fun words, perseverance and building our endurance. And James, if you want to join me in James chapter 1, this is where I need two Bibles because I couldn't decide if NIV was a better version than NLT. They both lay it out a little bit different. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to read James 1, 2 through 18, all the way through in the NIV version, if you're following me. And then when we dive into verse by verse, we're going to go to NLT because it puts it in just a little bit different perspective. It's really cool. If you're in Bible study ever and you're really deep, I had, what, 5 books out? Like it's really cool to see the different versions, and it just enlightens you in a different way. So that's what we're going to do today. So James 1, starting at verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Perseverance. In NLT, it says it a little bit different. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many people are like, ooh, a trial. I'm so joyous. I got one. I got one. That's like dancing the street. Yay, a trial, troubles are coming. That's not usually how we don't dance. Was that bad? Typically, we're more like Eeyores, right? Oh, now I got to make a phone call. Now I got to deal with this. When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What are you talking about, James? James is talking about your mindset when you go through stuff. Your outlook. Is it loom and doom, or is it positivity and growth by learning? Allowing your character to grow through the trial or trouble or grief or fill in the blank. It's easy to have a joyful view of the world when things are going well. But how do circumstances that are tough change the way you view life or your actions towards people and God? If your character is stood firm in the faith and you inherently have that joy and that peace that passes all understanding by Jesus, it shouldn't matter if it's a positive event, a negative event, or an indifferent event. How you react, how you act towards people should be steady. And when we're inconsistent in that, we got some work to do. We got some things to persevere. We've got some endurance to build up. It's not a bad thing where you are. Just recognize when you're inconsistent in treating people, and that if it changes by what's happening in your life from today to tomorrow, we've got growth opportunities. When troubles come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. All right, we're going to move on to verse 5 through 8. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. When you ask God, be sure your faith is in God alone. Ensure your loyalty is not divided, or you will waver and not make wise decisions consistently. This wisdom we need to ask for is Christ wisdom, so we can be more Christ-like in our decisions and our actions. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says this, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let that sink in. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Follow Christ. Don't follow anything in this world. Ground yourself in Christ. That's the wisdom we want. Verses 9 through 11. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. If you are rich or poor, if you are fill in the blank of any other societal distinctions, as a believer, as a Christian, these are all checked at the door. All believers share being saved by Christ and the dignity of being changed by the sacrifice and the love of Christ, by the forgiveness and the love of the mercy of the Lord. It is given equally to everyone. So be humble and don't look at yourself or others as less than or more than. We are all equal to God. And that is how we should view each other. Because that is at what it is at the end of the day. If you've got a lot, if you've got a little here on earth, none of that's going with us. None of that's tied to who you are inside. So stop looking to your left and to your right and figuring out who's better or who's worse. Be humbled. Because I'll tell you, that's going to, when you start to compare, it's like running a race with one of those parachutes tied to you. And you're trying to go and get your record about how fast you can go, but you're literally being dragged back. That's what that does. And so it's hard to persevere through that. On one way, though, it does build endurance, right? See where this is going? And you can learn from that. And then eventually, as you grow, you cut ties on that parachute. That just came. That's not written here. Okay. A nugget in the middle. All right. Verses 12 through 15. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Who's my patient fans out there? Oh, I have like four. That's good. Okay. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. The blessing is growth and maturity in your faith and spiritually. The blessing isn't in the outcome of whatever that trial or temptation is. that's giving way to the world of circumstances. It's deeper than that, church. What you get out of trials and tribulations in life, it's deeper than whatever that outcome is. The blessing is in growth and maturity in your faith and your spiritual life. Don't allow excuses to pull you away from growth and doing the right thing, as temptation comes from our own desires. Others may persuade you, or you could say, God brought this or that into my life. And so then I had to make that bad decision, you see, because someone persuaded me, because God allowed this to come into my life. So I had to act badly. Absolutely, you need to take ownership for that. At the end of the day, it was your desire and your choice to give into desires that cause sinful action. No excuses. Take ownership of your actions, church. Learn from the experience, grow, and don't do it next time. Build the endurance of staying strong and not giving into those desires. 16 through 18. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down from us, comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. God never changes or casts a shifting shadow. God chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possessions. When you walked in here this morning, did you know you were prized? We should all have little ribbons. Missed opportunity. Prized possession. But that's written on your heart. God gave birth to you and chose you. Every single one of you. I'm going to look at every single one of you. As a prized possession. Nobody is left out of that. Remember, we're all equal, and God equally gives us forgiveness, mercy, grace, love. Every single one of you are a prized possession. So when you're thinking about if I should grow or should I not grow, you are worth it. You are worth it to build up your perseverance. You are worth it to build up your endurance to get through this life. Don't ever think you're not worth giving yourself a chance. Jesus never gives up on us. Jesus would have come for the one, my little lamb that's sitting there thinking, I'm the one that Jesus wouldn't come for. You are mistaken. You are worth growing, maturing, getting the ultimate blessings of enduring this life, of persevering through whatever it is that challenges you today. You are absolutely 100% worth it. And by doing these things that James is calling out here, we're going to maintain that resurrected faith, which is going to help propel us forward, right? We're going to maintain motivation to care for the flock that comes into your area. You're going to maintain motivation to continuously grow. You're going to maintain patience to wait for Jesus to come back again. We've got to take care of the little things every single day within our hearts. That's what's going to give us perseverance. That's what's going to build our endurance. Those little things matter. When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for growth, for maturity. We've got this, church. We've got this. And guess what? You've got a whole community around you. Look to your left, to your right, to your forward, behind you. That's what a church is too. When it gets hard, when it gets hard to persevere through something, you have people around you that will pray for you, that will give you a hug, that won't give you a hug if you're not in that space, that will sit and stand beside you, that will listen to you. That's what a community of believers is for. To cheer you on, to cheer each other on as you run this race in life. You are not alone, church. You've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got God, and you've got these folks all around you to help get through every single day. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your lessons, God, for this thing called perseverance and endurance, God. And we pray, God, that we have a courageous faith, that we look at these words as fantastic words, and we no longer have in our vocabulary when we think about perseverance and building endurance, God. Help us to continuously grow, God. Help us to see how wonderful it is not to be where we were, to be where we are and looking forward to where we're going to be. Help us to continue to have a thirst for you, God, a thirst for spiritual growth, for spiritual enrichment, for maturity, God. Help us, God, to continue to look inward and to take accountability for us and our actions and our character so that we may grow and be examples for other people, God, to be that community that lifts each other up, God. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.